Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this place again and to this hour. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that he may guide us into all truth, that we may revel in the blessings that you pour out upon us as your redeemed people. In Jesus' name, amen. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, have you ever considered how often you are moved by the actions and words of others to say, thank you? As our children are growing up, one of the first things that we try to teach them is that when somebody gives them a gift or says something nice to them, well, make sure that you say, thank you. We look around us and we see the blessings that God has poured out upon us so incredibly. And we are moved to say, I have so much to be thankful for. We see terrible damage done by tornadoes and other natural disasters. And we are thankful that we have been spared from such things. Or we hear about a group of kids caught in a cave for many days and they're rescued. And we thank God for his grace and his mercy. I remember this spring when my mother-in-law called us. And she said, well, we just had 28 and a half inches of snow. And instead of feeling sorry for her, I was thankful. Thankful that it was up there in Wisconsin and not here in Iowa. Yeah, there are a lot of things that we can be thankful for. But you know, so often when we analyze our reasons for gratitude, what is it that we find? We find that we're thankful. We're thankful for good health. We're thankful for good and permanent jobs. We're thankful for good crops. Perhaps we're thankful for a loving spouse and children, good children, a nice home, all of those things. And indeed, when we think of all of those blessings that are all around us, we have every reason to be thankful, and we ought to be thankful. We should never take those gifts and blessings for granted. But all of those gifts that I've mentioned fall under the material things that we receive in this world as a part of life lived here in this world. These are not, however, the only or the most important reasons for us as Christians to be filled with thankfulness. The Apostle Paul, in the Word of God before us, in his letter to the congregation at Ephesus, has something to say to us about what we ought to be thankful for. Paul directs our attention to the spiritual blessings which God has so graciously prepared for us and which he gives to us both for our temporal here in time and also for our eternal happiness. For these two, we ought to be a people who say, thank you, God. That's what Paul does in the opening verse of our epistle lesson. It says it so beautifully. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Yes, my friends, we are indeed blessed by God in Christ. And he talks about three specific blessings. He talks about being chosen in Christ. He talks about being forgiven in Christ. And he talks about being sealed in Christ. And we pray that we will leave this place today convinced and joyful at these blessings that God has given to us. Paul begins, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the one he loves. So Paul in this section calls attention to a specific doctrine or teaching of the Bible. And it's one that is sometimes kind of hard or difficult to understand. But it need not be. This doctrine or teaching that we call the teaching of election or the doctrine of predestination is really very simple. And it's most comforting for us as believing children of God when we silence our reason and simply let God speak and listen to what God tells us. Listen again to what God says He has done for you and for me. He chose us in Him, that is, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Absolutely incredible, isn't it, what God has done? God here assures us that before the world began, before it was made, before time even began to be reckoned, before we were born, before all of that, God already thought about us. And God chose us as His own dear children. Truly, this is an act of God's grace and mercy in Christ. Because you see, God was moved to do this, certainly not because He looked at us in the future and saw something intrinsically good in any of us. It's not because of any merit or worthiness on our part. It's as Paul says, I think, clearly in 2 Timothy, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That, plainly and simply, is the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination. And because God has revealed that fact to us in His Word, it means that we who are believers in Christ Jesus have that absolute certainty and assurance that our coming to faith was not by some chance or pure luck, but rather something that took place because God in eternity decreed it to be. God in eternity chose you, and He chose me to be His own. That's what Paul says. In love, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. That's what God tells us. And there we must stop. The danger in our world today is that we want to let reason come into play. And then we get into trouble. Let me explain what I mean by that. A person might say, well, if God chose you to be saved, and John Doe over here ends up in hell, is damned, well, does that mean that since God chose some to be saved, that God chose others to be condemned, to be damned? Certainly not. God simply tells us that those who are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Those who are lost through their own fault because they have rejected that grace of God. The Bible clearly teaches us what God's will is, and here at Our Redeemer for the last year, we've been talking about that will of God is. His will is that all be saved. His will is that the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that Christ won for us is ours. That's what He wants for each and every one of us. He wants that for everyone. And so, for us to say that He chose some for condemnation, it's against the will of God. It's contrary to the Word of God, and it's wrong. So we simply let God speak and take comfort in what He has revealed to us and rejoice that He has chosen us. That's what that doctrine is for. It's for you and for me as believing children of God that He wants us to have that certainty and that hope. So many people today are seeking purpose and meaning to their lives. It's right here, isn't it? We need look no further. Are you important? You are important because God chose you from before the creation of the world. to be his child, to be an heir of heaven. That's incredible. And it's yours by the power of God's Holy Spirit. There's no wonder we want to say we are blessed by God in Christ. He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And because of this fact, he has now called us to faith in Christ as our Savior. That means that through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the water and word of baptism, we are now children of God, and we are partaking of all of the blessings of Christ's work of redemption. That's what Paul goes on to describe. He says, in him, that is, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of sins. So, being called to faith by the Holy Spirit, Paul says we have redemption. We have been redeemed, purchased, bought back, high price of Christ's death on the cross. And through that, we have the forgiveness of sins. You know, as a pastor, it's so easy to stand up here and say that, and I think easy for you to hear that. But I don't know if we really appreciate it enough until we understand what we really are like by nature. You know, what does the Bible describe us for? The Bible describes us as, it says, that you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. It says that our hearts, by nature, are filled only with evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy, and the like. That's how Jesus describes it in Matthew chapter 5. Isaiah says that all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are a people who deserve only death and condemnation. But in contrast to what we deserve, what does Paul say? We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's yours and mine. God no longer charges our sins against us. We are forgiven in Christ, our slate washed clean. We are free now, free to serve him in joyful thanksgiving. God accepts us as his children, as children who have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And not only has he forgiven us, Paul goes on, he has lavished on us the riches of God's grace with all wisdom and understanding, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. So what's he saying? Not only have we been brought to faith, but what does he do? He gives us wisdom and understanding. He gives us wise and discerning hearts so that we can understand God's will. We can have our confirmation kids learn the Ten Commandments. We all know those commandments, how God wants us to live, and we understand that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. God has made us new creatures, enabling us to walk with him in faith. That's what Paul says. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that's all ours because we've been called to faith in Christ. And that's exactly what God planned in eternity. And it has been effectively carried out, and it continues to be carried out today. Listen to what he said. He says, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. One by one, those whom God chose in eternity are being called to faith in Christ and are being gathered together in the family. The family we make confession of when we believe, we say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. That's God's will for his people, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. Being redeemed by his blood, called to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are part of the family brought together under Christ. Once again, we are blessed by God in Christ. Every reason to be thankful. And our text speaks of yet one other blessing. So he's chosen us, he's called us, and through the gospel, he preserves us or seals us in the faith unto eternal life. Let's know how Paul puts it. In him, that is in Christ, you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So do you get it? What you have. Think of a baptism, whether it was your kids or your own. You don't remember your own if you were a baby. But think of a baptism you've seen. The pastor makes the sign of the cross upon the forehead and upon the breast, signifying that that child has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. A seal. He's been sealed with God's Holy Spirit put into him by grace through faith. That's what he's talking about here. Now, seals are mentioned many places in the Bible. We talk about the clan signet seal of Judah. We talk about the scrolls with the seven seals in the book of Revelation in chapter 5. Most Christian congregations have an official seal that they can stamp documents with to show that they are official and the ownership with the church. The Holy Spirit given to us in our baptism is proof that you are God's child. It's proof that all of the promises and blessings that God gives, these spiritual blessings we're talking about, are yours. That Holy Spirit's presence in your life is that seal. It's a guarantee that what God promises is true. And so that means every one of us here this morning can say with total and complete confidence, I am the Lord's. He found me. He made me his child and an heir of heaven. I think it's kind of how Jesus described it in John chapter 10, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Can't happen, because we are sealed by God's Holy Spirit. Peter puts it this way, you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us is God's deposit. It's a down payment guaranteeing our inheritance to come. That is our eternal life in heaven with God. The blessings we now enjoy right here and right now, what we've already talked about, forgiveness of sins, being given the gift of faith, being at peace with God, assured of forgiveness, all of these blessings are a guarantee of what's to come, our eternal home with God in heaven. There we shall praise and bless our Lord throughout all eternity. So hopefully we have so much, my friends, so much to be thankful for, both physical and spiritual blessings. But the greatest blessings, again, are the ones that Paul talks about here in our text. Leave this place rejoicing in that God chose you before the creation of the world. That God called you by the power of his Holy Spirit to faith in Jesus Christ. And that he promises to seal you, to keep you in that faith unto eternal life. That's a motive, my friends, a reason to praise and thank God now and always. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.